And how can personal beliefs and spirituality provide support during difficult times? You're about to find out. This is your host, D. Wells, Why Not You, and I am joined by Michaela Johnson. Now, despite her challenging work environment and personal history that includes overcoming a difficult upbringing and educational hurdles, she kept her eyes on the prize, making her mark in the world as a chef and a creative force to be reckoned with, as she's on her way to produce and direct her first dance production. Now, her story isn't just about ambition, but she inspires us with her definition of success, which hinges not on accolades, but on the courage to stay true to oneself in adversity. You all are about to be shaken and uplifted with an inspiring story. Never giving up on yourself, having faith, and persevering. Why not you?
Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, and I'm joined by a special guest this afternoon, Michaela Johnson, who owns Mimi's Homemade Bakery, and she also has a dance, how you want to say it, like a dance, a studio company. Or a dance company, okay, called Therapy of Dance. And this is one thing that I love about what she's doing is that she's actually stepping out on faith. She's going to be directing her first live production called The Art of Love, and that's going to be dope. Thanks for joining. How you doing?
Good. I'm good.
Good. So before we get it started, I got a couple quotes that I always just kind of start off with. And these quotes here, just let me know how they resonate with you and what you think of them after I read them. And they're both by Tyler Perry. And I just thought it was fitting for what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, God gives everyone a lane and no one can beat you in your lane. Just stay focused on him and what you're supposed to do and everything will be all right. Then the second one is, I don't think the dreams die. I think the people give up. I think it gets too hard.
Yeah, those are good. I felt that. The second one.
You felt the second one?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I believe we are our hardest critics. And there's like two things I take in life, which is consistency, mm-hmm. being consistent in what you do, and discipline, and not like allowing those to come in and like kind of like anything you do in life, you got to be consistent, you got to be disciplined. That's how you're going to get through. It could be just working out. You're not going to get no results if you don't be consistent and disciplined. And I take that because it's like, procrastination is a really bad thing for a lot of young folks and yeah. myself. And I learned when I started doing it, just being consistent, being disciplined. It doesn't have to be a whole big old schedule that you have planned for yourself. But if you do something consistently every single day, you find that you end up building something on top of that. Yeah. You something beautiful. And that's how I got into the whole dancing and baking. I have two kids, a boy and a girl. Uh-huh. And I consider my son my dream catcher. And he is a reminder that dreams never die. That kid, I danced through my pregnancy. I danced when I didn't have a studio. I danced when I didn't have the money. I danced in my kitchen, for goodness sakes. I would push yeah. back the circle table yeah. that I set up and everything. And I would do it. I would bring my kids in they would see me. And my son, he started rocking to the washing machine, dancing. The kid break dances, for goodness sakes.
Does he really?
He stand in ovation everywhere he goes. He will sit, stand on his hand, and he will spin down. He's just turned 7 last week. And I remember I would call him my dream catcher, and I would call my daughter, anything impossible is possible, because I did stuff when I was like, I didn't even know I had the capability of doing it.
Wow.
So I do believe people give up because, oh, I have kids. Oh, I'm a mom. Oh, I have to do a job. We all have things we have to do in life.
Yeah.
It's never going to stop. But if we just like take a little bit of time with the things that we really love to do and we're passionate about, and stop letting people say, oh, you can't do it. You need this. You need to have a backup plan. No, fall forward. Please fall forward.
Yeah.
And go forth what you want in life and stuff.
So. That's good. So who actually gave you like this mindset for you just to empower yourself, right? Where'd you learn to develop that?
My mom. I was adopted, and my mom, she passed in 2020, but she is the reason why I am the way I am. She influenced me with this. I kind of believe that most of this is sat on grief of that, of her. My business, the dedication of the, and the behind the show, that it's all on her. But she gave me that mindset. She would be like, okay, you could dance, so what are you gonna do with it? Oh, you can cook? Okay, what you gonna do with it? I'm like, I'm gonna make something of myself.
Right.
I remember that one time she had doubted me. I was like, but you're the one that paid for these dance classes. Right. So you can't see nothing. And I was like, no, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that I'm going to need a better paid job or something, because this is something that I love to do. And you actually, you're the one that put me in that.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was her. It was all her. And and a little of Tyler Perry. He influenced me. His story is similar in the little ways. Denzel Washington, I think he had that motivational speech that I sat in and I listened to when he was speaking to, when he went, I don't know what college he was at, but he was saying that it's so similar. He went to college and he went to these, it makes me laugh because I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go to school for EMT. I'm going to go to school for nurse because they pay good.
Right.
And Denzel Washington has said in his interview, or not interview, but his speech, that he went to school for something he couldn't even pronounce.
That is funny. I never knew that.
and the dean has said nicely, you could take a break for a while. Like, it's okay. You could take a break because his grades were going other different directions. And he wanted to act. He didn't know how to sing. He wanted to be in Broadway shows, and he didn't get to sing. I think he did Fences years ago, and he ended up the same place he ended up getting rejected for his audition. A few years later, he went back, and he actually went to that Broadway audition. No, he was actually accepted into that to that theater event. But he's a big, huge influence. He's really just pray, focus on God, keep moving forward. And when you move forward and you fall, because he said you're not going to be perfect at everything, at least you're falling forward and not back. You're not looking like, you know, you're looking back and stuff like that. Just fall forward.
That's it, right? I know there's a couple books calling Failing Forward.
What?
Not Fall Forward, but Failing Forward, yeah. Yep.
You have to send me some, because I motivated myself this year with my kid to like read at least 100 books. So no more TV time for me right now.
I heard that. You are focused.
Yes.
That reminds me of a friend of mine who he said, you know, he went, I think he said he just went 3 months without, no, I don't think it was 3 months. I'm sorry. It was 6 months without watching any TV. And he had just committed himself to, you know, just through going through the Bible and everything. And when he did that, you know, it was, he said he couldn't believe the amount of doors that actually opened up, just from the amount of study that he actually did, because, you know, something happens, right, when you discipline yourself like that and you limit yourself from outside distractions, or isolate yourself from outside distractions, and you just blind spots, or not blind spots, but straight, you put the blinders on, and it's like all about that tunnel vision because you're so focused. And because of that, now he's retaining the information that he's reading and sharing it with other people. And then from him sharing it to other people, now he's getting the exposure and doors starting to open up because now they're seeing him for not only for like who he is, but how he's adding value to other people, and other people want that. And it's allowed him to travel across the country and sharing, not only like in the United States, but also like in like outside, like globally. And it's huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
You sometimes when I go into my training, cause right now I'm in physical training for this event. Cause I don't want to say, okay, I'm getting prepared. No, I need to be prepared because this goes into next year. And all of this year is promotion, photo shoot, video shoot, getting the new station, radio stations involved. I have to kind of change my mentality. I have to kind of step out of my comfort zone. You know, I have to, it's so hard. Cause I'd be like, ooh, no, I don't want to. No, you got to step out your comfort. I'm in physical training. I'd be like, sometimes, cause I take Uber back and forth from work. I'd be like, well, the gym is right on the way. Mm-hmm. So I'm already having to pay to get home. So I might as well go ahead and stop at the gym. And I get off at 11 at night. And if I can make it, I make it. I make it happen because it's just going to keep going. Like, I'm going to be depressed a little later on and be like, oh, I'm still at the same weight. But it's like, I want this. I'm not getting any younger. I'm getting older. They have this rule in dancing life. And, oh, you got to be this tiny and everything. I'm really just training so I can move a little faster. Yeah. I did know that tuning out some stuff and like kind of removing yourself from social media, and I still have an issue with that, but kind of going into the dark, it was this motivational thing that I was listening, because I had to get into it. I had to get into like that lioness inside right. me. Like it's like, you've been through a lot. Mm-hmm. You're desperate. You want it. How much do you want it? Do you yeah. want it to the point where you can work in your project in the dark? Like, tune out everything, social media, TV. Make it a priority before you step out of bed to pray.
Yeah.
How much do you want it? So you got to tune out everything. And I did start learning. You tune out stuff. That's when Wade came in the picture. I don't even know him like that. He was like, you know what? Can I pray for you? I was like, what? Huh? You want to pray for me? I was like, yes, I need the prayer. And he was like, I can help you get some people in your podcast. And then I'm also working with the organization in Atlanta. And I am finishing my proposal, my finalized proposal today before 12 a.m. And I've been so nervous about it. So they're going to back me up behind it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. People are stepping up that you never knew. And it makes things happen for you. That's how it works.
I was sitting there. Yeah, I was sitting there. I was like, God, it's good. And it's just taking little baby steps. And it's like, I prayed about it. I mean, I left everything I knew to get back to Atlanta. I had to sacrifice some stuff, and it wasn't stuff that I was comfortable with. I was not comfortable at all. I don't even feel comfortable in the steps that I'm taking, but I know that there's a stairs and there's God there. And I'm like, okay, God, Can you like direct me and where's the light? Because I don't know.
Right.
And I've been working on this project since 2020 when my mom passed, and I had a vision, and that vision has always grew. Like, wow. I want to tell my story. So.
That's right. But, you said so many things right there, just with, you know, one is how people procrastinate, and then two, how bad do you want it? So you have to eliminate a lot of the things that you used to do.
Yeah.
And just make it like a non-essential and just get out the bed and just kind of show some gratitude and pray, and then focus on that vision, because you had a vision. And then faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Faith is just all about taking action.
Yes.
Yeah. And being in that place where you can actually listen to God, but also allow him to guide you and direct the path.
Yes.
Yeah. You're doing it.
It's hard. It's hard sometimes.
It is.
I suffered the repercussions of moving forward before God said, when God said, be still. And I'm like, I am strong. I can do it myself. God was, let me tell you something. You're not as strong as you think you are. And I got to see what it looked like on that side of you're not being still, and went through homelessness with my kids. Mm. And last year for 2 weeks. And it was actually emergency leave, but it was like, God, I know in that time, everybody that was praying for me was like, just stay, just be still, just be still. I'm like, no, I want to do this. I want to do this myself. God's like, no, mm-mm. I had a perfect apartment, a decent apartment. And I was moving everywhere else because I did not want to be in that place. Mm-hmm. And because of everything that I went through. But he was like, let me show you something. But he also turned whatever the devil meant for evil, he turned it into good. And I ended up getting back home to Atlanta, where I was originally supposed to be going. And everybody has, one thing I can say, I never seen so many men step up, and strangers step up and help a woman that they don't even know. And I say that like prayer. I say that with business. And I used to be the person, the woman that's like, woman can do everything that a man can do. And there's nothing, nobody, no man is going to help. And then people started coming up, and I'm like, and you hear their story, and then they help. They're like, I support you. You're doing good. I've seen the lack of women wanting to, like, somebody positive, like, just positively saying something mm-hmm. about you can do it. You're going to be great. I've seen a stranger in Orlando when I flew. I told him about it. He was like, just do it. You got this. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody that could just sit there and write it and direct something that they want. Yeah. And then Wade came along. He's like, let me pray for you. I've had some other people that's like, I'm watching you, even though you don't think I'm watching you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't give up that dream that you have, Michaela. And I'm like, I support it. And it makes me sometimes, like, when I'm private, it makes me tear up, because I was like, I never knew. The people that will end up stepping up and helping me, just being positive and saying positive things to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would be coming from a man.
Wow.
Seriously.
That is huge. Because, I mean, yeah, Wade just kind of stepped out and he just met you on a whim, right? And all of a sudden you guys are corresponding, and that's how we end up connecting.
Yeah. He was just like, he has said, I'm going to call you or contact you every single day to make sure you're doing okay, and to make sure that you're moving forward and you're not stumbling. Because, you know, as artists, we have like writer's block. It's the same as writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dancer's block. It's a director's block. You get this like thing, and you're just sitting at a desk sometimes, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to write? You get in your head, you get blocked, and it's like, then it's like a year later, you're still blocked. And I feel that sometimes. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is hard. That is hard. So, like, what was it that actually inspired you to follow or to get into the dancing?
I used to work for Hero Foundation. There was a guy named Kelvin Myers. He was the makeup artist for Phaedra from Housewives of Atlanta. Hero Foundation is an HIV and AIDS community. They help people that are infected or affected by HIV and AIDS. And I would volunteer a lot. And I met Kelvin. And he's the sweetest man I ever met. Because you like makeup artists, they're always self-employed. They're like maybe having this little swag of themselves, like, yeah, I do. He was humble. He was super humble. And at that time, I remember I was a junior year of high school. He was starting a show called, I forgot, Freedom Fantasy. Yes, Freedom Fantasy. And he was looking for dancers. I actually came in like maybe like weeks later. They were finishing up the dancing, and I'm like looking like one of the directors. She was like, "Hey, you want to come in and be a part of what they're doing?" The year before, I actually was doing the backstage production. I was putting little diamonds on or sequins on the outfits. And I was like, oh my gosh. And they were sitting, they had the little tables, they had the dinner. And then these drag queens came out. Oh my gosh, it was so exciting. It gives me goosebumps. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. And then they asked me that year, but I wasn't able to attend it. My mom used to take me to Atlanta. She couldn't come back and forth. It was just too far. So he used to drive me around. He used to drive me around. He actually took me to one of his bookings. And I remember I took a picture and I was like, I was so like, okay, I'm like a kid, a teenager. I'm like, oh, how long does it take to put makeup on? And but I was like, oh my God, look at her face. It's so beautiful. He was the reason, I believe he was the one that was directing it. He's the one that planned it. And I didn't even know we were getting paid for it. But I didn't stay. But he's the reason why I actually had that idea in the back of my head. And I reached out to him this year. Sadly, rest in peace to him. He passed away from cancer a few months ago. And I just have found his page and messaged him to say, thank you. Thank you for letting me see that as a kid. I thank you for inspiring me to do that and to bring Hero in so they can keep doing what they're doing, funding that program. So kids that have parents that have HIV or something, they can keep doing that. I don't want them to ever be that, oh, we used to have Hero and they don't have it anymore. And that's where it came from. Then seeing Lion King on Broadway as a child, being a part of dance in New York, because I was born in New York. I started at 4. Everybody be like, where are you from? I'd be like, I claim New York. I don't claim Georgia. I'm not Southern, but I am from Georgia. But I started dance there and seeing
It's
being a
funny.
part of performing recitals to Broadway, seeing Lion King on Broadway in New York City, and to Alvin Ailey's dance company, seeing it on in the Fox Theater, hearing about Tyler Perry, hearing all that stuff, it built it up. And I would watch movies as well. All this stuff from why you fell in love with dance that comes from Brown Sugar, why did you fall in love with hip hop? Then we have Honey Daniels, who took all those children from the ghetto and took them off the street, so they weren't getting into gang affiliated stuff, and ended up creating that little production that inspired me. Alvin Ailey, ooh, he built his company before he passed in Juilliard. Center State. I watch so many movies and it inspires me. And it basically built this whole thing. And I wanted to, when I sat there, I was just like, one day I was just sitting there and I was like, I did not go through all of this to not do anything with it. I'm going to create my own show. And it's in dedication to my first dance teacher, Miss Bunny, Miss Tracy. If she ever hears, Miss Tracy, thank you so much for being my teacher.
Yeah.
In Little Long Island, New York, in the preschool, that dance studio is still there to this day.
Wow.
And I'm 20, going to be 27. It's in dedication to Miss Bunny, Miss Tracy, my mom, who was my biggest cheerleader. And it's in dedication to her. She would want me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And grieving is very difficult. And I just didn't want to keep crying. My mom wouldn't want me crying. So I built this dream. And it was like, it's in dedication to her because she was the one that paid for everything.
Yeah.
I could not pay for this stuff. I was like, can my mom pay for this? Like, this is expensive.
Right.
So that's where it came from.
So can you describe the emotion and feeling of just having like an opportunity like this to direct The Art of Love? I mean, because that's going to be huge, right? That's going to be huge.
Yes. The feelings are like happy, tiring. I'm very excited. I feel like this was my calling. It's a whole bunch of feelings wrapped in it. And it'll be so exciting to see all my family, biological, adopted, all of them to be sitting in the front row to see something. Cause they're always telling me like, you're the only one in the family that's doing something like this. And everybody has their gifts. If it's teaching, my brother, actually, my brother, David, he does photography and videography.
Uh-huh.
He's good. Is and he? Yes. Yeah, so he's coming in on this piece.
Wow.
But I'm so excited, and it's kind of like a weight kind of lifting off. But sometimes I'd be looking at myself and I'd be like, girl, you be signing up for stuff like A, B, C, D. Like, it's like, it's easy. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's like overwhelming as well. But it's something that's like, I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like a job that's like, if I get this done,
yeah,
this will be my career. This will be my job.
This
and then when I'm
time.
Done and relaxed, then my kids are going to handle this business because I'm not doing it anymore.
So, I mean, when you look back over like where you started and just like the natural progression from going, I mean, well, you already had like the commitment just starting your baking business, and then you dance. That's something that you've always loved and had a passion for. And now you're going to be directing. God just works differently, right? So he's just not going to like lay everything out for you. You have to go through like this, I don't know, just the experiences of life and being able to navigate like just different obstacles. When you look back and you just think about it, could you see yourself here at this point? Or did you ever like imagine like, wow, I'm actually going to be directing a dance production?
Yeah. Yes and no. Because when I started out, I was dancing in my room all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
There was never the one thing I could say, the best dance school that I've ever been to was one in New York. And when I came down to Georgia, they were always closing African-American studios. And the dance classes and the way they did stuff was totally different. I don't know what it was. So I danced in my room all the time, and I would record all the time. When I went to college, I was in the dance, I was in the gym all the time. Everybody would know me. Anybody who lived in my apartment, my mom's like subdivision, they'd be like, yeah, Michaela, that weird kid, they would always say weird. Because I was this little dancer. They didn't understand. That's what I would say. They would never understand me as an artist because they considered that to be weird. And it was just, I danced. I would go and I would go around the subdivision and I would be dancing. I'd be listening to Michael Jackson. I'd be like, yeah, tiptoe, yeah, hip hop. And I would go, like, I would go anywhere I can possibly dance, privately, publicly, and do it. And I always wanted to be on, it's always, that's still on the top of my list, I want to audition for Lion King on Broadway. That is one of my biggest dreams, to be there, yeah, to perform. If it's a little dance, if it's just me running off the stage, if it's holding something, I'm for it.
Yeah.
When my kids came about, I was like, I don't know if I could go and tour with them. And being a mom is first priority. So that also was like, well, I'm just going to create them in my dream. They're going to be dancing even when they don't want to dance.
Your son could be baby Mufasa. Or wait,
yeah. My daughter could be baby Mufasa and run across the stage, or we could hold her up like this and like give bless to the stars and stuff. And my son, he has a solo in the show. He's doing what is the Will Smith, Friends Like Me. He's gonna be the genie. So he'll have his little backup dancers.
I heard that. He's
gonna have other people in there. I said to myself, I was like, I don't ever want to give up dance. I don't ever want this to be something that I used to do, that I used to love. I want it to be always recurring, something that is the joy in my household, something that keeps a family.
Yeah.
And, that is just something that is life. This is life. Dancing is life for me. It's where I can't speak. Mm-hmm. Like if I can't speak anymore, I leave it on the dance floor. And my children, I ended up creating it around them. I was like, I could still be a mom. Mm-hmm. They will be able to dance, they'll stay active. They don't have to do exactly what I'm doing, but at least they know like a little 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Like, so that's why I was like, if I can't go and do Broadway and I can't go to New York all the time, because I don't want my kids to say, they miss me. One thing I know, Maya Angelou, son, I didn't even know she had a son until I seen her documentary on, Amazon. I heard her son. I could feel it through the screen, the agony, that yearning for his mom when she was always gone. And that really, like, I was like, man. And he loved his mom and still loves her. But he did say that he missed missed her. And she would travel a lot. So I didn't want to be like that. I always hear dancers who gave up their dance. No, I don't want to do that. So I was like, let me create a show and include them in it.
Yeah.
I feel like my daughter, she so loves school. She's only 4. She loves school so much. So I'd be thinking like, she'd probably be the one that's handling legal stuff later. Yes. And then my son, he'll just be the one that's like the dancer who carries it. She likes to dance too, but she likes a partner dance and she'd be getting heavy. So I just be like, okay, time to get the hand off my shoulder. Yeah. So that's why it was this buildup of everything throughout the years that led me to this. I taught dancing in El Paso, 2 different dance studios, predominantly Hispanic town. And I don't speak really great Spanish, But I loved teaching, and I would have students that didn't speak English at all, and I would teach them, and they would come to my class all the time. My girls, which I love so much, it was really hard to leave them because I had over 35 girls. I would sit 200 and something people. So I built up during the time that I started with just doing recitals through the rec center. Yeah. And I actually just called. It was like, hey, I just need a space. I'm tired of dancing in my kitchen. They're like, can you teach ballet? I'm like, sure. And I had to study. I studied, I trained with them. They made me a better dancer because I had to learn. Because the ballet is the center of dance. It will never go away. So they were the reason why. They're the reason why I ended up doing ballet, and I actually love ballet more than anything now. And I would have these shows, 200 people. The last show I did, it was the spring. It was the last show I did. It was at Abstract spring recital. It was Abstract because it was classical music. It was to express how spring, how flowers blossom. And they would go into this little cocoon little thing, and they would blossom out as a flower. I remember my boss had told me, I think it was over 200 people who sat in that audience. So I was really happy about that.
What?
Yeah. Yes. I was like,
so I know you shared your vision, or not really shared, but you just said that you had a vision, and now you actually know now that what you're doing is something that you're really passionate about, and you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Can you like share like what your vision and your dreams are with directing and dance?
So my dream is just to be a dancer and a chef, to be able to entertain for people. Hands down, seasonal. That is my dream.
He said seasonal.
Seasonal.
And you enjoy both of them. Like
so it's like the fall performance, winter performance, spring and summer performance. So that's like four across the board. Even maybe more. In the middle of it will be catering and baking and stuff. But my vision is to actually, if somebody was to give me a blueprint, I could tell you everything and every little detail of my building. Is to own a building would be to build a dining theater here where I can have my baking, kind of kill two birds with one stone, have my baking business, be able to have artists come in and perform and have shows throughout the year. Have the baking, have the stage there with the big, huge red draped curtains that go back and forth, people directing on the top of the, on like the top that, I don't know what they call it, but it's like they handle the lighting. I guess they call it lighting production. I don't know. But they'll handle the lights, and then we have everybody in 8 seconds, we need to get on the stage. Everybody get in position. Let's go. Let's go. Okay. Everybody's good. Now get the whole, the big old light. And they open up the curtains and have that done probably in the back, have a little state studio and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I want to have a big enough space where I can add these things in, and it's mine and mine only. I'm starting off with nothing.
Yeah.
I don't have no savings. I'm a mom. I'm coming back with nothing. And I'm telling you, I don't have bulks of money in the bank. I'm starting off with the scent and the idea and a vision, and hopefully raising enough to get there. And in that, you could do jazz.
Right.
Jazz music, saxophone, beautiful. Like very upscale and elegant, poetry night.
Do you have a name? Would you, do you have like a name of your building?
Have you thought of it?
I think, to be honest, I think I would. It'd be so silly if I did. It would be Creaky. That is my my biological family's name. And it's to honor respect to Sarel F.W. Creaky, who was a jazz musician. And that's funny because my family, my biological family, they own parts of St. Thomas, parts of it. Like, our name is still on some of the towns. And my family is an older family. It's really old. My grandfather, I feel that am to build his name back up and to honor him as well as my mom. Because he's coming from that segregation time where he was one of those children who grew up in there, and he took control and did the art during really hard times. Mm-hmm. I honor that on him, and I give highly respect. He actually fought, and I say grandfather. Yeah. And so when I say he fought in World War II, there's a big, huge age gap. I would have never met him. So my dad was a very older man, and he would have been 85. I'm 27. I have brothers and sisters that are in their 60s.
Wow.
I'm like, when I met them, I was like, what am I supposed to talk to? What am I supposed to say? Like, hey, how's older life treating you?
You're wild.
They, but my family, they play piano. Mm-hmm. I play piano a little bit. I compose a piece that I'm doing, but I come from Neil Creaky, who worked with Aretha Franklin and Quincy Jones. So that business and wanting to be an artist, that's in my blood. That's been running through my veins since before I was even here. So in honor to Neil, Cyril, to all the artists who have passed in my family that didn't have the strength to even do it, mm-hmm. I give honor to them and respect to them, even though I wasn't born with them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
That is wild.
Yes.
That is funny, too, that you said, what am I supposed to say to them? They're old.
I don't even know. I was looking at my brother, and I was like, I don't know what to say. Because me and my sister, my biological sister, her name is Monica. It's funny how people say that ancestry is a lie, and it's not. It's not. It's actually real. My sister was looking for her dad or wanting to know where she came from. And she was on there. And it was coming up as second cousin. And she responded so fast. I was like, hi, my name is Michaela. I was just trying to find what I was mixed with. Because people would be like, what are you? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm Black. In the United States, if you're brown, you're considered Black. So I involve myself in any culture, like especially the Hispanic culture, especially the African culture. I love it. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. As long as you are open to new things, it doesn't matter what shade you are. Go into it. Learn something new. Try new food. I can't make some of those foods, but she was on there, and I was like, I called her. She gave me her number, and I was like, we're second cousins. She was like, no, you're my sister. And I was like, huh, what, my sister? She was like, yes, I'm your sister. And we were like crying, and then she was telling me about the whole family and how me and my brother, we had went through this whole adoption battle. And sadly, my dad passed a few years after, at 60. But we were considered this mystery in the adoption agency because our names were changed and nobody knew where we are. So in the family, there was these two kids that my dad had, and they didn't know what our names were. And we kind of disappeared and kind of hid, and everybody was in New York. Everybody was in New York. We were close nearby, but nobody knew that we were related and stuff like that. Like, they, it's like you could be next door to your brother and you didn't even know who that was. So due to the big family that we have, it was pretty cool to unravel. And then they talked about the art. Cyril, my grandfather, he was honored at Columbus, one of the colleges I actually wanted to go to. I think it's called Columbia College in Chicago. I may be saying it wrong. It's been so long. And he actually got respect and honor for his poetry and everything. They touched a little bit on him being in military. St. Thomas honored him. He's very known. Neil is honored. He's in the little, he's like the one behind the music.
Yeah.
He worked with one of the biggest Cuban percussionists, Mango Santa Maria, and May was composing the song Sofrito. And I love that. I don't like the crazy stuff that they be talking about in that family. I like the art. I don't care about any of that.
That's funny.
So how do you manage your circle of influence? Like, how do you choose the people that you're gonna associate with?
Well, the thing on Facebook is you can kind of go into like little groups and chat with people who want to talk about how to get where they need to go. Mm-hmm. And I have friends that went to school for music, that went to school for theater. Just met somebody that went to school, graduated theater. I was like, how was it? Was it stressful? Like, do you really, he's worked with Tyler Perry or did the little audition. I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And I actually don't even have a big circle. It's me, myself, and I get introduced to you guys and Wade and stuff. And that is like really the biggest it goes. And then the organization, I'm open to anybody that wants to be in my circle, but I kind of make sure that I am not getting influenced badly by people. Cause when I explain what I want to do, they'd be looking at me like, I'm like, are you still there? They're like, yeah. Like, huh? They don't understand. And I just stay to myself with that. I don't have a lot of friends, and I just kind of, that's the reason why I'm an artist. I was bullied in school. I was misunderstood. I wasn't the smart kid. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel like lonely. It made me feel like I was by myself. And I had this little video, and I said, the reason why I fell in love with dance is because my dancing became like a little imaginary friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And it became like my best friend. It became something that I can cry and dance without having to cry and express who I am. And really the whole company is really built on children. Mm. Children need somewhere to express themselves when they don't want to say, hey, I've been abused. Hey, I'm being mistreated. I feel like this world has corrupted children and took out children, and it shouldn't ever happen.
Yeah.
And I want them to have a safe place where they could be who they are, whoever they want to be. And it doesn't have to be dance. There's little other things they could do. They can act. They could be putting little jewels on the costume and do any of that. It doesn't have to be just dance. I want to create this company for kids that may want to listen to music, may want to do other things besides dance.
Yeah.
Production and everything. You're never too young to learn. I think I've seen a video of this little baby who was doing multiplication. I was like, I need a calculator for that. I can't do that. But it's like the baby was learning at that age. So it's like the younger you learn, the easier it will be when you get an adult. And then when somebody asks you, what do you want to do? You know where you want to go. You know what you want to do.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Wow, what an awesome story. And that's just part one. Just a quick question. What message does Michaela's story send about the role of age in achieving success and the fallacy of conventional timelines for reaching professional goals? She said, I'm not stopping for nothing. I'm not stopping if there's a tornado. I'm not stopping if I'm homeless. I'm not stopping when there's no car. I'm not stopping for none of that. You all should have that same relentless pursuit of just overcoming adversity and really tackling what it is that you want to accomplish, never giving up. In the meantime, you all have a blessed week. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.